Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, think about this for a minute. You know, the news is full of all kinds of situations and problems that are going on. And the answer always is there need to be a law for that, right? We try to solve the problems of the world with laws, with more regulation, with more restrictions and all those kind of things. When just like this boy here, he was on the highway to hell, folks. And as we think about that, you know, it's more than just a song. It's the reality for the majority of people that are outside the doors of this church. They have not realized that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And it's our job as believers to tell them. It's our job as believers to go ahead and have an impact on the lives of people for the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus said, "It is finished." Now, where was he when he said that? He was hanging on the cross. He had endured the most horrendous 36 hours, 24 to 36 hours that we could ever imagine. And here he is hanging on the cross, not railing against society, not calling down fire from heaven, but rather going ahead and saying, you know what? It's finished. What? His life, his struggle? No, it's finished. The payment for sin is complete. The payment for sin is complete. He paid for it with his own blood. And we turn back into Corinthians chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus took the sins of the world on himself. As he hung there on the cross, he suffered for you and for me. We're the ones that put him on the cross. We're the ones who required that forgiveness. Not him. He never did anything wrong. And so as we're out there in the schools, as you are living your life wherever God places you, remember this. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are here for such a time as this. And in fact, you know, I like the fact that your pastor is preaching on hope. Please don't miss those sessions because America needs hope. You need hope. And guess what? Here's just a word of hope, an extra word of hope. And in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God has brought his son into our lives in order to make a change. God wants a change in our lives. He wants us to be changed from hopeless to hopeful. He wants us to be changed from wandering to focused. He wants us to be changed from wondering to in awe. You say, what? In awe of him. You know, the songs, I had no idea what kind of songs were going to be leading up. But they were like, red to a bull or sick'em to a dog, because it went ahead and it just reaffirmed that the message that God had given me was right on target. And isn't that how it is so many times? We were in prison ministry for 7 years before we came into Child Evangelism Fellowship. And we were actually responsible for the music side of it. I would preach sometimes, but most of the time I was one of the singers. And we never coordinated with the speaker. Never. And yet, at the end of the night, it's like, wow, those songs were so intertwined with what the message that the speaker was going to bring. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's in control. You know, the cross is amazing. You know, the cross is important. The cross is fundamental to the life of the Christian. But you know what? Something that we fail to remember, to fail to focus on, is the empty tomb is just as important as the cross. Why is that? Because if Christ were still on the ground, what hope would we truly have? But because the tomb is empty, we can know that we have the power over sin and death. We're a new creature. I mean, it just makes me struggle sometimes when I hear people just use the lament, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you are saved by grace, and you were a sinner. You were a sinner by design. You were a sinner by choice. You chose. At one point in time, you chose to sin and you were a sinner. But now you are a saint that sins and not a sinner that's saved. What do you mean? I'm telling you that God has changed us. It says he took out that heart of stone and he put in us a heart of flesh. He resurrected us to newness of life. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And when we sin by choice, not because we have to. When we sin, it's not because we are following Satan. It's because we're listening to Satan. There's a difference. And so I want to challenge you today to make the choice to go ahead and be more on task, be better focused, and putting God first in your life. Just like the video went ahead and talked about, the only hope for this boy was Jesus Christ. The only hope for all of these crazy people out here is Jesus Christ. And you know, the problem is that many of the people that need Jesus the most are not crazy on the outside at all. They're just totally normal. They come to work on time. They go ahead and take care of their families. They go ahead and take care of their sick mother and all those kind of things. And on the outward appearance, they are totally normal. But they're totally lost. You know, we have to recognize that you can't recognize a believer. There's no mark on the believer that shows us as a distinct group. The only mark that's on the believer is how we live our lives, the desires that we have in our lives. And instead of a life of fear, instead of a life of trembling, instead of a life of, oh, wring my hands, old Eeyore Central, right? We need to go ahead and be about what God is doing in our lives. It says here in Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the story or the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, God doesn't even need us. He doesn't. He chooses us. He chooses to use us. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. And you know, anybody with a right mind and half sense would be able to recognize the order of everything in our world. Whether on the grand scale, all the way down to the subatomic atom parts. God is a God of order, and he's got everything under control, and everything is not happening by chance. It's not happening simply because this boom happened at one time in the past. Think about your eye for a minute. Think about the finest cameras in the world, and yet I can look at my Bible, I can look back at you, look back at my Bible, and I can still see everything that's going on over here and over here. Why? Because God has created a wondrous thing. It just happened by chance. No, God created us this way. God created us, and when we recognize the handiwork of God in our lives, and we proclaim that God is the one who made us, that God is the one who went ahead and uses us, then we're giving glory to God. And so as we think about that, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And so part of that plan and that purpose is to give him glory. Part of that plan and that purpose is to have a relationship with him. Part of that plan and that purpose is to draw others, to entice others, to compel others to come from the highways and hedges to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't save them. All we do is go ahead and put the message out there. We're the sowers. We're the sowers of the good seed. And in Child Evangelism Fellowship, we specialize in children. And we work in the hearts and the lives of children with a purpose and a reason to be able to have changes in the lives of the children. As we look here in Romans, it talks about, and what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, so many times we wring our hands and we wonder, you know, what's going to be the latest problem that comes into our lives? What's going to be the financial death knell to our future? You ever worry about your 401k? You ever worry about your IRA? All those kind of things. And yet God is able. Is he not? God is able to take care of us. And so, as we, how do you like that catch? And so when we think about that, what then should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That boss that kind of struggles with our Christian testimony. That coworker that kind of feels uncomfortable around us. Don't go out of your way to go ahead and make life miserable for other people, but people should see a difference in us. People should see a difference in how we do things. People should see that we show up early and that we stay late, that we do a little bit more than what's asked of us so that we can reflect the move of God in our lives. And when we'll do those things, we have the promise, it says, that we are more than conquerors. They talked about people dying and all those things here in Romans. It says, and for thy sake, we are killed all day long. They pick on you maybe because you're a believer. They don't invite you to participate in their social event. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Oh, we don't have any other value. Oh, poor us. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loves you. And that's the message that we take day in and day out to the children. God loves them. God loves them. God loves them and has a plan and a purpose for them. We don't gloss over the fact that God hates sin or that they're sinners. In fact, they can't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus until they realize that they're lost. You know, the churches are filled with people that when you ask them, tell me your testimony. Tell me what you believe about God. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Why, I've been in the church my whole life. I give every Sunday. I go ahead, whenever the pastor asks me to do something, I do it. I'm saved. But they don't realize that nowhere in the Bible does it say go to church and be saved. Nowhere in the Bible does it say give money to the church and be saved. Nowhere in the Bible does it say do good things and be saved. And in fact, we see it over and over again. We hear it almost ad infinitum in the fact that children, when you ask them, well, what do you need to do to be saved? And it's the same answer that adults often say. You know what? If you do good enough, then you'll be able to get to heaven. And, you know, that's a perversion from Satan that is going to leave a lot of good people in hell. Because we can never be good enough. The Bible says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so to be perfect is the only way that we can earn salvation on our own. Not doing enough good things, not going ahead and giving enough money or taking care of enough people. Mother Teresa of Gainesville type people, you know, the reality is that the only way that we can know and enjoy the forgiveness and the salvation of Jesus Christ is when we say, I can't do it, but I'm trusting in what you did for me on that cross that day, and would you please save me, a wretched sinner? That's the point that we come to know Jesus as our Savior. And then we can go ahead and do the good things. And then we can go ahead and give money and do all the things that God has prepared for us to do. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about how that we're saved, and so many people stop with Ephesians 2:9, and I want to go ahead and read that just very briefly. Ephesians 2:8-10, and it says right here, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that's our part, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as believers, we are to do good things. As believers, we have a plan and a purpose that God wants us to accomplish. And he has prepared you uniquely with your gifts, talents, and abilities to be able to do it. It's not to get saved, it's not to stay saved, but it's rather because you are saved that it's the Holy Spirit working through you to be able to accomplish that. I want to come back to our Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. As we think about that, God also wants us to be the witness. He wants us to be the one talking about how God worked in my life. You know what? I don't know how it happened. I was, driving down the road. This guy pulled right out in front of me, and it wasn't chance. It wasn't knock on wood. It was God himself who went ahead and protected me. Maybe it was through an angel or whatever. I don't have to understand everything to be able to acknowledge that, you know what? That was a miracle. And how many other miracles do we face in our lives? The person that was scheduled for surgery. And, well, there's one more pre-op examination. And so they went and had some people pray over them. And in the prayer of faith, go and then come to the doctor. The doctor does an MRI and says, I don't know how it's possible, but I just have to tell you, there's nothing there. Why? Because God's able to do that. And we need to proclaim that to God. We need to grasp that, you know. Salvation is not just go ahead and name it and claim it. It's trust and then let God go ahead and do the rest. He's the one who works in us. He saves us. He transforms us. He renews us. Folks, if you have not experienced a change in your life, if you're still trying to be good enough to get to heaven, there's a good chance that you're going to miss. And so maybe today, maybe this time is the time to go ahead and get that resolved. Don't go ahead and spend your life in church thinking about God, learning about God, and never knowing him. Well, as we think about those things, that's why we go to the Good News Clubs in the schools. Over 50% of the children that we work with never have a gospel witness in their lives. In fact, I was over at Interlaken, and we had a couple of girls that were there, and I had the privilege of counseling with them. And Donna told me afterwards, she said, you know, until I started coming to Good News Club, I had never heard of Jesus before in my life. And you say, now, wait a second. This is the United States. This is the South. This is the Bible Belt. Well, at least the northern extreme of the Bible Belt, and our southern extreme of the Bible Belt. But the reality is that she was sharing her testimony. She said, I had never heard of Jesus before in my life. You know the only reason why I'm here in Good News Club? And I said, no, I want to know. Tell me, Donna. She said, 4 weeks ago, my mom went ahead and dropped me and my sister off of my grandmother's, and I have never seen her since. And so my grandmother signed us up for Good News Club so that she could have an extra couple hours on Thursday afternoon that she didn't have to take care of us. And that sounds sad, but again, that's the sovereignty of God. And so Donna and her sister both came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we praise the Lord for that. That's not anything about Mr. Steve or the other team members that were there. And that's why we're there. That's why we're there. We had just this week one girl who goes to a like-minded church not far from here. And, you know, it just dawned on her Tuesday. You know what? I know about Jesus, but I don't know Jesus, and I want to go ahead and have my sins forgiven. And so that young girl came forward, and that's not what saved her, but in going forward, then she had a chance to hear about how that God made the only way that her sins could be forgiven, and she called on him, and she asked him to forgive her and to help her to be saved, and then also to have a change in her life. And so that's what Good News Club's about. You know, the TV news, TV 20, is all about the hurricanes, the shootings, and everything else. Good News Club's all about what Jesus did in order to change lives of people and to change their destination and destiny. Well, some of the other things that we do in Good News Club is try to encourage the saved child each and every week. This week, we're talking about worshiping God, giving him the glory that he deserves, recognizing that he's the one that's working in us and through us. And so we want the children who are lost to be saved and those who are saved to grow. And so we thank you that you are one of the partnering churches that makes it possible. for several years now, your church has been partnering with us. Kim Hart used to go with us, and you know, with the extra addition to the family, it's not feasible at this time, but you know, maybe God would be calling some of you to step up and step out and say, you know what, I'd like to be a part. Your pastor came to our Good News Club last spring, and it's like, whoa, I had no idea. Did he say that to you? Did he say he had no idea what was going on? Yeah. And so I hate to go ahead and say things where someone's not there to affirm it. So, and anyway, he was excited about what God was doing through the Hidden Oak Good News Club. And so these children are eager. These children don't have to be dragged kicking and screaming. God's working in their lives and using them in powerful ways. Not everyone is in favor of us being in the schools. But the reality is that until the Supreme Court changes, which could be any day as things work, but on June 11th, 2001, the Supreme Court ruled in Central Milton School District versus Good News Club that Good News Clubs can be in every public elementary school on the exact same basis as any other club. So if there is any kind of club in a school, then we can be there on an equal basis. Now, we do have lots of hoops that we have to jump through. We have insurances that we have to provide, and we have background checks we have to submit to, and all those kind of things. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And so my challenge to you is think outside the box. We have one gentleman who's an engineer, works over here by the Terwilliger Elementary. And on Thursday afternoons, he takes an extended lunch and drives over to Glen Springs Elementary so that he can be a part of that Good News Club over there. We've had people that are nurses who work the night shift, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night shift, go to bed at 9 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, get up at 12 o'clock on Wednesday so they could be at a 1 o'clock Good News Club because they have early dismissal. Because they saw the importance of reaching the children. These children are eager. They're looking for people to love on them. I had somebody talking to me just today, this morning. We were at another church. And said, is this couple still part of the Good News Club over at Lawton Childs Elementary? And because of health, they're not. But this husband and wife team, they never taught a Bible lesson. They never taught a verse. They never led the singing. But they were the de facto hosts of that club. That club, in fact, how that started was through a missions conference. One of the ladies said, you know, my heart's really in foreign missions, but put me on your newsletter because I'm willing to pray for you. Almost like that's the crumbs. The reality is that prayer is a bedrock of ministry. And so if you would be willing to pray for us, would you please, please, please sign up and let me know so that you can be a part of our team. You are a part of our team. If you're willing to go or willing to provide snacks, that's an essential thing. So anyway, I say that to say this. So I sent in the newsletter that we're starting a new club over at Lawton Childs Elementary. And so she called me up. She said, you know, I live literally two blocks from Lawton Childs Elementary. She said, I already told you, I don't stand up in front of people. But I make a mean chocolate chip cookie. And if you can use some chocolate chip cookies, then I'd like to go ahead and make that possible. So she started by bringing chocolate chip cookies to the club. But the kids wanted to be able to say thank you. So she started to stay. And then she started listening to them reciting their memory verses. And in very short order, she started dragging her husband along. And the two of them, the club wouldn't start until they could get their hugs. The kids could give them their hugs. They would listen to the memory verses, and then they didn't want to go until they could give them a hug. And so they ended up being the de facto hosts of the Lawton Childs Elementary. And until she suffered a stroke, she was there every week. And so maybe that's what God would have you to be. We want to start reaching 100 million children a year, and that's only possible one at a time. And so we're well on that path. Last year, you can read in our newsletter if you'd like to pick up a copy, We worked with 19.9 million children worldwide last year. We're the largest ministry in the world to children, and we do it one at a time.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.